Hey everyone, what's up? It's your girl Nakia, and welcome to the Fearless Kia podcast. Hey everyone, what's up? It's your girl Fearless Kia. Welcome to another Fearless Friday. So, quick life update for me. The lesson of this week is let go, let God. Oftentimes, I've tried to control the outcome of how things should occur in my life. Whether it be my personal or professional goals, I've just been very systematic and overly cautious about every movement, causing my own levels of anxiety and stress. There is that like fear of making one wrong movement that could ruin accomplishing like my goals. And it's okay. Like, it's okay to be human and let go the reins a little bit, focus on like myself and what I have to offer and bring to the table. So my talk this week is just, you know, stay focused on your goal, but let go of the control to not make mistakes along the way. It sounds cliche. I get it. You know, we hear it all the time. But whatever it is for you will be for you. I often hate hearing that, especially when I'm in the thick of the storm myself. But I know God is preparing blessings for me that I can only see come to fruition with the trust of letting him guide me and me doing the work to get there. So with that being said, I hope this helps bring some little piece to anyone who's in the thick of it as well. Like, we here together, let's be accountable. But I just want to say, take a second, breathe, pray, and release it to the Lord above and let him, you know, do what he's going to do. But without further ado, let's get into this week's guest. This week's guest is a multi-talented entertainment journalist and on-air talent from Washington, D.C., first of all, hometown in the building. Traveling up and down the East Coast between New York City and D.C., and she even goes to L.A. sometimes, y'all.
Okay.
She's booked by some business.
Know her.
She's worked on camera and behind the scenes with BET, the NBA, Essence Magazine, Billboard, Complex, Hot 97, E! Tidal, and more. Look, the list go on and on.
Oh, that's Jesus.
She out here working all at the same damn time. When she's not in NYC, she is at home cheering on the crowd of 15,000 or more of the Washington Wizards fans in her hometown. And that's not it. Between balancing a multitude of opportunities at some of the biggest brands, she is one of the five members of the Black Girl Podcast, giving you nothing but Black Girl magic,
oh,
Black
God.
Girl realness, Black Girl sisterhood, Black Girl love. This week's guest is no other than Gia Peppers.
Yay, finally made it onto the Fearless Gia Podcast.
Hey.
Yes, girl. I just got to congratulate you on continuing to be consistent. Because I remember you was talking about it.
Yes.
And then you made it happen. So I love it. So congratulations.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
I'm doing your thing.
I'm so honored that you're able to come on the podcast.
Oh, girl,
I know you're busy. Child, I'm like, yes. Every time I'm seeing this with us, I'm like, yes.
Thank you, boo.
Collect the check 2018.
Amen. All the
prosperity.
Checks.
Prosperity.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
So, I usually start out the podcast asking my guests, what is your deepest fear?
Mm-hmm. Well, just right, shoot you right in the heart. Okay.
Right on
there. Right on in there. I think I have a few deep fears that I'm always working to, like, keep out of the front of my mind, because mm-hmm. if not, you'll operate from a place of fear.
Right.
But I think the biggest fear for me would be to not return on the investment that my parents had in me, like just mm-hmm. everything that they have invested in me so far. And basically that means like not being able. So my whole life, my parents preached that we should all be doing 10 times better than they did.
Mm.
And for us, you know, growing up in the DC, Maryland area, you know, we come from like families that are pretty like well put together.
Right.
There's a lot of affluent families that are in our area.
Right.
And so for me, my parents always set it up where they were like, we popping, y'all better be more popping. So for me, my biggest fear would be letting them down, letting down my brother and sister, who have always been like part of the reasons for how I do the things I do.
Right.
You know, I take it very seriously that I'm an oldest sibling, and I know that they follow a lot of what I do. And so I've learned to balance like living life and then still being a role model, because my parents kind of put that responsibility on me since literally my sister was born 2 years after. And I remember them, like, of course I was two, so I don't really remember, but I remember them saying, this is your responsibility, whatever you do, they're gonna do.
Right.
And so I was like, dang. Jesus, okay.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah. And so for me, That is the biggest fear, not being able to return on the investment that my parents gave to me all my life. And they're still very much invested in my dreams and the dreams of my brothers and sisters. So I never want to be the type of person that's like, my parents were these great people and I just do this. So that's my biggest fear. Like I that is not an option, but that is my biggest fear.
What is it about doing worse than your parents that really frightens you? Like,
I think for me, expectations are such a big part of like how I grew up. Mm-hmm. Like expectation, you don't come in the house if you don't, you know, have an A+ on your report card, at least five of them. Like how my parents view me really, really matters to me. And then also, like, they didn't work. My mom is one of the hardest working people that I've ever met in my life. And that's from interviewing every celebrity that I think of to every millionaire CEO. My mom has had 3 jobs since the time I was born. Mm. And then is still a dentist and has her own business practice with my godfather and still works in the FDA in Maryland and still works with the district government, and then it finds time to do like free dental work for the people at So Others Might Eat, which is a homeless shelter in DC. So like, you know, for me, seeing her work so hard all this time, that is my motivation to kind of like work hard myself. And so when people are like, how do you have so many jobs? I'm like, I kind of come from... That's what I seen women do my whole life. Mm-hmm. So, like, it ain't nothing for me to hop on an Amtrak from here to New York or New York to D.C. to try and be on time for a game, because I'm like, that's what we do. Like, that's what I am. That's what I'm a product of. And so, for me, seeing my mom stay up with us till 2 a.m. in the morning after working a 12-hour work day and then going to a second job and then still coming home and being the greatest teacher that any of us have ever had, is where the fear comes from. Like, she did so much. She's doing so much for us.
So there's no reason why
I shouldn't be excellent.
Even 2 times
more. And I don't even have kids. So there really is no excuse for me to kind of allow myself to fall off. So, you know, I'm not going to say that there's times where I feel like I'm all the way on, because sometimes I feel like I have fallen off or I do fall off. But, you know, it's still like, at the end of the day, mom still got 3 jobs.
Right.
So I need to have 33 jobs.
Do you feel that this fear kind of supersedes your faith?
Oh, no, sis. You can't live. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. If you live by fear, you will never accomplish anything that you want. We all have things that we believe in and we stand on. And if you stand on faith more than you stand on fear, you will be able to accomplish more, not only in your personal life, but in your careers. Because everyone has multiple grinds these days. Like, you're not just about to be... I mean, yes, there are some people that still get enough money in their 9-to-5 and can afford a New York apartment. But most of us you know what I'm saying? Most of us have our jobs to afford where we live, and then we have our things that we actually like to do.
Right.
And so a lot of people don't realize that if you give into fear more than you give into faith, you won't have no energy left to do anything by the time you get home for the things that you actually like to do. And you won't put yourself out there to get the greatest version of what your life could be. Like, everything in our lives is based on how we view ourselves.
Right.
Everything that happens in our lives is based on what we believe could be possible in our lives, which is why I never like try to tell kids that they can't dream. Like, if I meet a kid who says, I want to be a Disney princess, I'm like, sis, you better go on and be a Disney princess, baby. Because as cliche as those memes sound, the little girls with dreams do become grown women with vision. That is the only way. We have to be able to believe in things that we do not see. And that is the foundation of faith.
Right.
Like, we don't see God, but we know he's there because he's protecting us and watching us.
Okay.
I don't see the $1 million that I want to have in the next, you know, couple of years. But do I know it's coming? Do I believe it? Do I act like it's there? Or not really act like it's there, because I can't expand that. But like,
it's tangible. Work, right. It can happen.
Work like it's there, like it's coming to me. Yes. So I think if you give into fear, like, you're going to be stuck in wherever you're stuck in for the rest of your life. And I think a lot of people have given into fear, especially in past generations. I think we are of the generation that's like, ain't no fear, dog. Like, right. It might be there, but I'm not giving into it.
Right. You know? And how do you not fall into the trap?
It's very difficult.
Fear, because it's very hard.
Yes, it's very difficult. Like, I think a lot of people try and act like, you know, life is perfect just because of what you see on Instagram. The biggest thing I hate is, like, when people try to act like they're not real. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to balance a little bit more, because I noticed that I use Instagram as a highlight reel.
Right.
Which is what most people do.
Right.
But because I am a personality and a person that is literally the go-between for consumers and media, like moguls or celebrities, right, or actors and things like that, I need to be like a face of the people who follow me and support me, which is one of my favorite things. But at the end of the day, like, I can't just show like the good sides. So I'm learning how to peel back the layers a little bit. And one of the biggest things I'll say is, like, I'm always in a constant battle to be the best version of myself. So there are days, I'm a freelancer by trade, which is why I can have so many like gigs at the same time, because like on Mondays I'll be in New York covering something with the title, and then on Tuesday I'll be in DC and covering working a Wizards game, and then on Wednesday I'll be back and doing something with, you know, a Complex, right, or a Essence or a BET. So it's like, you know, but there are days when I don't have a booking, and it's hard to get out of bed. Like, you have to be a self-starter. You have to kind of, mind over matter has to be the thing that gets you out of bed. Like, even if feelings are driving you down to stay in bed, you have to learn how to structure your own self and your own day so that you can still accomplish things. Because it's not, you're going to sit in the bed and feel horrible all day because you didn't book something, because you see other people booking things, because at the end of the day, you feel like, oh, I should be doing this, and that. Some days it just doesn't work like that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean there's still not work to be done. I have to get my EPK done. I need to get my new headshots popping. I need to make sure that people have my new reel. I need to make sure that my new reel is short enough. Like, there is always something to be done. So for me, I'm always praying for God to, you know, give me strength to structure my own days, to remember that the most important brand that I'll ever work for is myself.
Correct.
So it's a very difficult process, and especially when you feel out of alignment with things. And I think for me, like, if I'm being completely, totally honest, I'm not in alignment with things right now. And I'm very much aware of that. And so now my prayers are a little bit more like, Jesus, open up my vision, open up my heart again. Like, there have been things that happened in my life that I feel have taken me out of alignment, but I allowed myself to be taken out of alignment. God doesn't disappear from you. Mm-hmm. You disappear from God.
Like, what things?
So I think for me, like, heartbreak. I noticed that in my past, I don't really date that much. You know that I'm not really good at dating. I'm not really good at, like, guys. But you stay with dudes. I don't stay with
y'all,
dudes.
Don't let G out here to make it seem like I'll be in these streets.
But you know, like, you always are, like, you have a guy that's around. You know what I'm saying? You're good at, like, networking. Let's call it that.
Yes.
With the other sex. For me, I am not good at that. And also, men don't approach me, like, really, unless it's like, oh, can you get me a t-shirt at the Wizards game? Don't ask me for no damn t-shirts at the Wizards game if you are a grown-ass man and can buy it from the team store yourself. Thank you. Okay. And so, basically.
Digits or dates.
Okay. Like, come on. Like, it's one thing if you're asking me during the t-shirt toss. It's another thing if you come up to me at the game and I don't have t-shirts in my hand, and you're like, hey, let me talk to you real quick, and I'm thinking, you just fine, dude.
Yeah, you
trying to start
you
conversation.
Trying to pull up on me.
Now, mind you, I don't do that at work. Like, if I'm on the clock, like, if I see you at a bar outside the, like, next door at Bar Louis, say, first, yeah, I might, you know, give you a little place, talk to you. But if I'm working, like, I'll be like, yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, and if you really like me, then you'll DM me, and then we'll go from there. But don't ask for no t-shirt when I don't got no t-shirts in my hand. Like, where you think I'm just going? So anyway, I dated a guy for a while. I thought it was something. I was on the same page with him. Pages got changed. And it really threw me for a loop there, because that was my first time dating somebody in a while. And it really just wasn't one of those things that I was expecting.
Right.
And it took me down in ways that I didn't even see coming. And so for me, that was one. And then a whole bunch of no's. So like, in freelancing and any type of grind where you do not have a 9-to-5, you are somewhat at the, and not expense, but like, your job really is based on who wants you and who books you. So it's like, if you start if your bookings start slowing down, and then you're like, dang, all right, well, faith over fear, faith over fear. And then you get one no, and you're like, damn, all right, it's okay, faith over fear. Second no, okay, faith over fear, but dang, they picked her, why didn't it, okay. Third no happens in 3 weeks. Jesus, what is you saying to me? Do I need to quit? What are you saying, Lord? Like, what are you saying? Because it's kind of crazy. Fourth no, you're like, wow. And now you're like, so my savings are about to be in jeopardy now. Mm-hmm. I need to find a way to get some money. And then God always, for me, God has always shown up. So I need to remember who he is, and I need to remember who I am to him at all times. But when you start to focus more on your present circumstance than the bigger picture, you do lose it sometimes. Right. And so especially for me, I noticed that I was like numbing myself to just watching TV instead of getting out of bed, just like binge watching.
Right.
And like what people usually do on the weekends, I would do during the week just because I wouldn't have a booking. And I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to watch Hulu because no one cares if I get up anyway. And then I would get a sign from a person who would reach out to me and be like, I really love your work. And you inspire me to be a better person. And like things like that, when I'm like, I don't even inspire my, what am I not seeing about myself that people see in me? And then I start to pray and realize that God has given me a light and given me his glory, whether I run from it or not. Mm-hmm. Even if I hide from it, I'm still in his glory and he's still using me as a prism to shine.
Yeah.
So I'm like always like, dang, bro, like, I can't even take no day off. I he'll give me one day to feel sorry for myself. Next thing you know, somebody will come up to me in the street, be like, are you Gia Peppers? I love you. Everything you do is incredible. And I'm like, I don't even really love what I'm doing right now. But right. I think that's why God uses people. You never know. Like, you really never know what every interaction will mean.
Right.
So for me, you know, me getting back to being aligned with what I am here to do is listening to sermons in the morning. It is, instead of watching Love & Hip Hop, it is watching Oprah Super Soul Sunday or listening to podcasts. Or for me, Maya Angelou, for some reason, always makes me feel like there is right in the world.
Right.
Even though she's no longer with us, her presence, her work has always made me feel like I not only is it my responsibility to bring more right into the world, it's my responsibility to bring more light into the world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm always like, dang, like, remember. So every time you run away from yourself, that's when you start to get out of alignment. And so I can't wait till I'm at the moment where I'm like, there is no more running away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think we're young and we're in our 20s.
Yeah.
And so I can't wait, because I've heard the 20s are the hardest. So I can't wait till
that's
we're
the
30.
Development years.
Yeah. 30, so I can't
like,
wait.
If you live in.
Right.
We
good. Like, I know my practices. I need to be on schedule. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm working on developing those things and being around people who bring out the best in me.
Because right.
your energy is very much a part of what you do and what you create. So I'm getting back to, like, I'm fighting for myself. And I think that's a big thing.
How do you say yes to yourself when everyone else says no, right? So you touched on heartache. Mm-hmm. We touched on, you know, career opportunities when, you know, they say no. Like, mm-hmm. how do you push yourself to say yes to yourself mm-hmm. when everyone else is saying no?
There's several ways to do it. I think you have to remember why you started. Mm-hmm. I think you remember your motivation. I think you surround yourself with people who believe in you and actually, like, are there to help you. And people can call you out on your shit. I really like when my friends are like, what are you doing? Like, what do you mean? Like, why are you in that space? And, like, able to, like, kind of see through me.
Right.
Because I'm very good at putting on a face, child. I'm very good at putting on makeup and a little wig and calling it a day. But I like it when people can be like, what's wrong? Like, what's really good? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the times, people can't tell and people won't, because I am the person, the strong friend, the friend who's there when, you know, you need advice. And I hate that strong people get not left behind, but like,
it's like, who's there for you?
Who's there for you? So for a lot of the times, I have to literally get myself together, or else like somebody else, like, it just not 9 out of 10, like, unless I go to a, like, maybe there's 3 or 4 people in my life who realistically would be like, you ain't doing shit, so what you really about to do? And then a lot of the times it's just me overthinking, because I am doing things.
Right.
It's just it doesn't feel right to me because it's not an everyday thing.
Right.
So I would say definitely remembering why you started, realigning yourselves with the things that you know work. So for me, God is everywhere, but I love being in church on Sundays. So like, if I have to force myself to get out of bed, if I have to set 12,000 alarms, get out of bed and go to church, because I know I will find God there, and I know we'll find people who love God just as much as I do.
Right.
Even if I'm trying to run away from him, I need to be in that space. Like, right. There's still a party that always knows to return to God.
Right.
And then just do things that make you creative and feel great. Like, I love working at cafes. So, like, for me, I'm like, I need to go to a cafe. I need to get my shit together, and I need to go. And then prayer. Like, prayer is a big thing. So,
yeah.
For me, like, those are the biggest things.
I'm curious to, like, shift a little bit just as far as what sacrifices you made to get to this point in your life now.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of take us through that journey of how you've gotten to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, you may have gotten off a line, you know, mm-hmm. like a train track. It might have gone off the tracks, but, you know, we get on the tracks, and that's life for us. But for people who are
don't know
and aren't interested in pursuing your type of career trajectory, just kind of taking us through that journey.
Yeah. So for me, my first, like, foray into television reporting or on-air, any type of job, was in high school. They had morning news at St. John's in D.C., and they would let, like, once a week, students would get to do it from, like, our journalism classes. And so I would do it once a week, and I remember loving it. And I was like, I'm so great at this. I'm just playing. No, but it was fun, and I really, really liked it. Like, I was just like, this is kind of cool. Like, my mom will pay for a degree for this. She wasn't paying for a degree for, you know, singing, dancing, and acting like I wanted to do.
Okay.
Mom was like, I'm a doctor. What do you mean? What do you mean? You go to school, you get a degree, you get a good job.
I need to see these metrics. Where's the coins aligning?
Okay.
With this occupation?
No, shut up. She was like Lauryn Hill's mom in Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
And she was like, everybody's out there on that corner singing the shoulda, woulda, coulda. And you ain't going to be that. And child, so that was my mama. She wasn't with the shit.
She wasn't with it.
So I was like, well, I get to journalism. And then my dad's a journalist. So he's been working. He worked at NPR for 23 years. And then he works at the Associated Press now.
Okay.
So I grew up in the newsroom. I grew up watching him. And I learned that I was secretly listening. Like, this whole time, like, I've always been a daddy's girl. But this whole time, I was secretly, like, listening. And then there's this video. And then there's this video of me when I was a baby, like, 6 months old. And my dad, maybe 3 months old, my dad took me into the newsroom, like, when he returned to, like, work full time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's filming me, and he's saying, yep, Gia just had a crazy day in the newsroom. She told everyone she wants to be a broadcast journalist. And so there are things that, like, if you pay attention to the things in your life, they've been there the whole time. And we were watching that, like, 6 months ago, and we all were, like, floored. Like, what? That's crazy. You said that. And now it's true. Like, I'm like, what else you got to say, Dad? Can you talk up a husband for me? And so,
Lord.
In Jesus' name. And so, basically, after high school, I went into college. I went to Rutgers University in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I didn't want to stay in D.C. because I love D.C., but my mother was like, that's good. You can come take your brother and sister to school when you get out of class. I'm like, oh, no. I don't want to still be in high school. No. And
so, like, you going to PG County,
you know what
College.
I'm saying? Like, and there's something wrong with that, but I didn't see that for myself.
Right.
I always knew there was something bigger that I had to accomplish. And so I went to Rutgers University because I did not want to go to St. John's University because it was too small of a school for me personally. But I ended up going there as, like, a pseudo student because all my best friends from DC were there.
Right.
So I was there all the time anyway. But I went to Rutgers because I liked the big school feel, and they had a good journalism program.
Right.
And I also wanted to be close enough to the city where I could intern at all the entertainment shows and still get back to school and have the regular college life. I didn't like that NYU was in the city. It didn't feel like college to me. Columbia, the same thing. I just didn't. I was like, no, what you mean? Ain't no football field. Like, we grew up, like, University of Maryland down the street.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we were exposed to what real college life is like. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want my dorm to be on 79th. And, like, no, I want it to be, you got to go park and stuff. And so my first internship out the gate was with WPGC, and Donnie Simpson was there, and it was his last summer, you know, being on air with WPGC.
Right.
And so I was his last summer intern, and I used to wake up at 4 a.m. to get to the studio by 5 a.m. to be there to clean up like everything for, you know, from the overnight shift, set up the newspapers for Donnie, work with the producers to get all the stories, the entertainment stories that he needs to know about, and then start the show at 7:30, go get breakfast. 8:30, he would sometimes let me be in entertainment reports. He was the first person to like put me on air. And so he hated Real Housewives of Atlanta. And this is when it first came on. So I was all about Nene like, yes, and the gang. I was like, I'm going to watch. You know, everybody was like, oh, reality TV is trash. You know, back then.
This is like when it was first coming out.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I watch. And so he would let me do updates. And so that was my first like foray into being on air. And I remember all of my friends were listening and they were so proud. They're just like, you sound so good on the radio. You should do this full time. And that was when I knew, my mom knew I was serious about it, because I told my mom and dad I wanted to do entertainment journalism. And my dad was like, that's not a thing. Like, back then, it really wasn't a thing.
Right. It was
like,
so
there
up and
were
coming.
Segments, but there weren't, like, you were a journalist that covered lifestyle, and that entertainment just happened to fall into it. It wasn't entertainment journalism. I mean, I told my dad, I was like, no, I really want to be an entertainment journalist. I just want to cover celebrities, celebrity news, movies, television, radio, that. And so, my dad's from Hard News. That's all he does. So he was like, that's a joke. But I ended up telling him, you know, it was a real thing. And so once they saw how much I was willing to put on the line, that was the summer that I kind of, everything switched for me. Socially, that was the summer I focused on, everything was about my career. So I had stopped dating, really. My social life pretty much came to a screeching halt, because I had to be up at 4 a.m. All my friends were still out partying. Like, right. We were in our sophomore year, like, just coming home from college, like, you know, maybe no freshman year, just coming home from college and trying to have fun and, you know, trying to be together, because it was been a year since we've been out of high school. And I was like, I'll see y'all, you know, once a week, and they're together every day. So, you know, it started to put strife on some of my friendships who couldn't, you know, understand it. But I knew early on that I would have to sacrifice a lot. And so basically, long story short, all throughout the college career, I did the Wendy Williams Show for 2 seasons, Live with Kelly and Michael. I did in the Ween Academy, which is the Women in Entertainment Empowerment Network, which was the first academy they ever had, with like Felicia Butterfield, Sabrina Thompson, Christy Henderson, Lauren Lake. They founded it, but now it's a huge like network.
Right.
And so I did that. And so from there, I realized that I could make anything in my life that I wanted to happen. And so when I graduated Rutgers University, I went home for like the first like month. And I was kind of just chilling on my mom's couch, you know, having a good time, partying. We had mad parties. Everybody had graduation parties every weekend. Girl, it was litty.
Facts.
You know, PG County cookouts be mad fun.
Be so
lit. Girl, we was getting our money.
Cow.
We was like,
it's like open bar.
Okay.
Every week.
We was living life. And my mother was like, again, I think my mom is secretly Jamaican, because if you don't have at least 2 jobs, she has no respect for you. So she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm having a good time. Mom, like, it's party time. Like, I just graduated. Mom, I just
give you, like,
got my degree.
Room.
She gave me 6 weeks,
I know,
dragged me up in the middle of summer. Like, I remember it was July 11th-ish, to New York in Brooklyn to my aunt's house. She's 83 at the time. No Wi-Fi, no air, no central air, no real cable.
Mm-hmm.
And she put me in the room with her. And that was, she was like, make something happen, and left me. And I've been feeling so mad at my mom. Like, I was like, wow, I don't even know this lady. Like, last time I seen her, I was like 5. Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm in the hood of Brooklyn. Because, you know, it was still kind of hood back then.
It was kind of hood around our way back then.
Okay, like 5 years ago, it was still before gentrification had happened fully.
We walk around now and it's like, who this?
What is this?
Who we at? Clinton Hill?
Okay. We live adjacent to the projects. Like, it was not
Albany
cute,
projects.
Okay? It was not cute. So I was mad at my mom. I was like, really? So now you're going to put me in a... I ain't even never really grew up in the hood, and you going to put me in the hood. Cool. So I was mad at her, but I know that my mom knew that if she... is the same way that if you... you have to toss off a baby bird off of the ledge and to see if it will fly off of a cliff.
Right.
You either die or you fly. And my mom was like, if I raised you right, you going to fly. And so I ended up getting a job, and I had like some random ad firm. It was just so weird. It was like one of those like entry level jobs that you get on like an Indeed or like a job search site. But it was like inserting magazine ads into a scanning system so then people could see just how ads looked. It was a weird tracking system. And literally all day, I was pressing up and down arrows and scanning. And I was like crying every single day. And one of the things I did do while I was in college was join the National Association of Black Journalists. And if you're a journalist, that is the best resource for you for jobs, for networking, for career opportunities, for anything. Go to the conventions. So that summer I had gone with a few friends and I did the career fair. And I didn't have a reel that was like TV ready. Like I had a reel, but I was like, I know I want to be an entertainment reporter. So I didn't have any like, welcome, we're down in New Jersey and today there's been 16 car accidents, more at 9. Like I never had that. But a lot of people there were like the full like, looked like Katie Couric off of a news show. Right. And I was coming in there with a suit and like cheetah top and like black pants and heels. Like, how y'all doing? Put me on TV. And they was like, who are you? And so I had sat down with a lady. She was super dope. Her name was Linda. She worked at CBS Radio. And she was like, look, we don't have nothing yet, but I like you. I think you're dope. I'm going to keep your resume on file. I'll call you when we have anything. I'm like, dope, cool. A few months passed by and that's when I moved to New York. 2 weeks after I got my job to start that I hated at that weird advertising agency, I got a call from her. And she's like, hey, I'm not sure if you're still looking for an opportunity, but there is going to be an opening in the newsroom soon. One of our desk associates just quit. And I'm like, okay. Yes, anything, God, anything in the business, please like take me out of this misery. She's like, well, it's overnights. If you can work, it's 5 days a week. It's not full-time salary, but you will be working 8 hours. You'll get major newsroom experience, and you'll know if this is for you. And, you know, I was like, yes, 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 anything, yes. And so I took the job. I believe it was like 28 an hour. And I was working 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. overnights in the newsroom. And so those were the moments. I never thought I would be able to do that. I never thought I could be able to work 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. My whole schedule was thrown off, like sleep pattern crazy. Trip. And again, no social life. So it was like my friends, I mean, we had all just like really settled into New York. I remember going out with Heather, our friend Heather, who's been on the podcast before. And, you know, she don't go out till about 11:30, 12. Child. So I would go out with them, hang out with them pregame, and then have to leave the club at 12:15, change to get to work by 1. So I had no social life. Eventually, I just stopped trying to go out. And I worked there for 6 months. And my first day, I should have taken it as a sign from God, but we covered the Sandusky trial and the James Holmes shooting. And if you guys remember that, the Sandusky trial was Sandusky raping and molesting boys at Penn State. James Holmes had killed dozens of people in a movie theater. So they were two of the most horrific national events of our time. Right. And so I should have taken that as a, this is probably not for you because you hate hard news because of how
some of it's so
real it is, like
real.
Traumatic and gross it is. And so, and how you can't just turn it off. Like real people are dying or are affected by this. In entertainment news, you can pretty much turn it off unless like a Whitney Houston dies or something where it's like Michael Jackson, like something that's so big you can't ignore it. But this is every single day, real people being affected. So I was just so ready. I was like, let's do it, blah, 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 whatever, I'm down. Like, I'm here, 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. And I did, the big thing that taught me was that if I can do it, if I put my mind to it, I can do it. And I started to, like, come up with visions and plans for myself. What I wanted to do, where I wanted to be. Overnight in the newsroom, it got quiet between, like, 2 to 3 a.m. because most people didn't, like, news didn't start breaking until, like, 3:30, 4. So I would stay up all night on Tumblr and look for inspiring quotes. And then I would write down the quotes and create visions for myself and figure out what I wanted to do, what I really wanted to do. And so basically my last straw was the Sandusky, the Sandy Hook shooting, where all those kids in Connecticut were killed by the kid who was mentally ill right before Christmas. And I remember watching the live stream of the parents telling their other children, like, so little Bobby won't be coming home because he got killed. Christmas, we already bought his Christmas gifts, but you can open them because, like, those type of talks with their kids. And I was just, like, sitting there in tears. And I remember looking, and they were like, but how many kids were shot? And what's the updated number? And I was like, 14 now. And they're like, awesome. In 10 minutes, let us know if the same number. And I'm just looking around at these people like, no one is affected. And in the newsroom, you have to be desensitized to that.
Right.
And I'm not that. I am an empathetic person. I am a person who feels for other people. I'm a person who loves to create, you know, comfortability for other people. So for like, to see people who kind of turn that part of themselves off, I was like, I don't belong here. Mm-hmm. And then one of my friends also got killed in a drive-by shooting 4 months after we all graduated. She went to St. John's University. And she was killed, and that changed my life forever. You don't ever get over losing somebody, but you really don't ever get over losing somebody who's your age, who was doing the things you wanted to do, who was already like published in like Vibe Vixen at the time. Like she was already a writer. Like she had already made the moves. And so when she was killed, her father brought us all up to Boston to kind of come to the funeral. And he was a pastor in Boston. Mm-hmm. And he prayed for all of us, prayed over all of us. And that was the day where I was like, life is too short. I'm not living below anything anymore. I'm not going to act like I don't know who I am. I'm not going to act like I don't know who God called me to be. And I'm not going to act afraid anymore. There is no fear because tomorrow I couldn't be here. I might not be here tomorrow. And that was a major switch for me. So I left CBS Radio News. And I went back into advertising, but with a way better job, like a job that like was a great, you know, entry level salary. They gave me my own laptop. They gave us car service. You stayed after 9 p.m. And it was on the same block as SOBs. So I did not return my CBS ID. I don't recommend you do it. But thank you to Miss Linda for not saying anything. I did not return my CBS ID because I knew it was going, you know, just be creative.
Right.
In my journalism. My journalistic
it's called a hustle
endeavors. Okay, so I walked into SOBs a few weeks after I started working there, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm a freelance journalist with CBS Entertainment. Mind you, there was no CBS Entertainment at the time. And I just wanted to know, like, who to talk to about how to get on the press list for the events. You know, SOBs is everybody goes through SOBs,
right?
From Wale to like Bridget Kelly to like
Luke James.
Everybody, every up and comer, and a lot of like legendary like rappers and singers will come back. Melanie Fiona, SWB, like they'll come back. So I was like, can I just be on the press list? Like, you know, I'll pitch these things to my editor, and then we'll go from there. And the guy, his name is Andre Barnes. I'll never forget him. And he was looking at me like, you know, good and damn well, you don't work at no damn CBS, but he gave me a chance anyway. And he put me on the press list. And next thing you know, I started like creating relationships off of the context that he would give me, or I would Google, you know, things like that. And my first interview ever was with Bridget Kelly, who was at the time signed to Roc Nation and, you know, getting off her tour with Jay-Z and had her EP out, which I still love to this day. And she was so dope and so nice. And that was my first on-camera interview ever. My friend Kimmy C., recorded it on her. She had a Canon at the time. She was still learning how to focus. The child's all out of focus a lot of times, but we got it. And that's when I was like, I can do this. Like, this is a thing. And so from there, I started working with my own stuff. And then I started working with a blog called Music Exclusives. And they've been around for a long time. They have a lot of really great connections within the business. So we would get on red carpets. And my first red carpet ever was the TLC story, where, you know, Kiki Palmer, Lil Mama, Diana Ross was there for some reason. It was so random. They had the VH1 had that carpet down, okay. Honey. Candy Burris was, it was so dope. So that was my first ever red carpet. And I remember feeling on fire, like alive. Like my personality just was able, like I'm good on my feet. I'm able to make people feel comfortable. People loved my personality. And then everyone around was like, who is that? Who is that girl? Like, I never seen her before, but she's really good. Like, you're really good at this. I was confident. I was ready. I was happy to be there. And I was excited to be there. Even though I was at the end of the carpet, barely getting the interviews that I wanted, I was excited to be
there.
But
that also speaks to being in a place where you can, like, nourish your plants, your roots, where you can just, like, sprout up and be like, boom, here
exactly,
I am.
Exactly.
You were at that, you know, overnight job at CBS, but, you know, it was a stepping stone for you to learn, but it was like, my leaves are withering here.
Okay.
When you got on that red carpet, it was like, oh,
here we go.
What's that?
This is time.
Light, camera, action.
Okay. Okay. And so from there, we started covering a lot of different carpets, you know, and then I got a job at this entertainment site called NSTARS, which I'm pretty sure might
I mean, don't sue me and start. They may or may not be a front for something. I don't know what it was, child. It was a mess, child.
Child. But everybody had an instant.
Okay. Okay. So it was like a, I mean, I don't know if it was. I'm not going to say that it was, but it was very weird. Sometimes I did go weeks without checks. I will say that. It ain't run like no regular business. Anyway. The big thing that helped me there was I was able to be the senior video editor, and I was able to launch the YouTube for them and utilize their resources to create spaces for us to be on red carpets, to do other things. So from there, I started covering bigger premieres, like when Orange is the New Black came back, and it was the biggest show ever. When Tyler Perry had his new movie with Boris Kojo and all, well, that sex movie, Temptation.
Yes, Temptation.
Or Addicted.
Oh, that one.
Yes, that one. I don't even know if that was Tyler Perry, child. I don't, couldn't tell you. But the Addicted movie premiere was a big one for me. So we started covering all these bigger movie premieres and started to build a name for myself on the red carpet. And so from there, after NSTARS, I started to network, you know, within my circle. And from there, a woman connected me with, I think it was a woman that I might be related to, but I can't really, you know, she's like a distant cousin. She related. She hit me up and was like, hey, I know this incredible woman named Donnie Walton. She works at Essence, and they're looking for a junior editor to cover Essence Fest stuff. Are you available to meet with her? And I'm like,
hell yeah.
Am I available?
Sign me up.
Am I available to meet with her? Is the sky blue? Yes. Put yes. So I meet with Donnie. We immediately hit it off. And Donnie's like, look, the position is only temporary. If you want to leave this job at NSTARS, you can. But I'm telling you now, like, you're here in January. It's probably going to end in August. It's up to you. And I'm like,
talk about risk.
Right. I was like, okay, I know I don't like what I'm doing at NSTARS. I'll live. So at that time, I had also, like, seen Ebro a lot. One of the red carpets that I covered for Music Exclusives was when they did that VH1 show with Hot 97. This is Hot 97.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I met Ebro on a red carpet, and he was just like, yo, till he told Mona, like, she should be on TV. Like, that's in one of my first reels. And I'm like, what? You're so funny. And so we had seen each other. You know how you do the industry. Let's do lunch. Yeah, let's do lunch. Yeah, next okay too. And so finally, a year after saying that, he's finally like, no, really, we need to sit down and talk. And so Ebro took me to the Soho House. And we talked, and he was like, I want you to run my site. I've seen the stuff you've been doing on your own. You're dope, but I want you to run my site. And I was like, okay. And so that's when I started to do that. So next thing you know, I went from, like, working with NSTARS to having Ebro and then the Essence Fest. And months before all of that happened, I found out that the Wizards were looking for a co-host. And
yes,
so
I remember
I'm
that.
Like, okay, I just sent in my reel from the stuff I had done with the NSTARS, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever, like, they probably won't get back to me. I sent it in, and maybe like 2 weeks later, I get a call from the front office, like, hey, this is Gain Entertainment, we want you to come in and audition for us. And I'm like, okay. So I remember, mind you, my whole childhood, my parents had season tickets to the Wizards games. So, like, I grew up watching Juan Dixon, Kwame Brown, on the Tyronn Lue, like everybody, even JaVale McGee, Michael Jordan, like everybody come through the Wizards. And so I'm like, yo, this is crazy that I'm coming in right now, because I remember watching Big Tigger and everybody down there and be like, yeah, I could do that. That's easy. Like, why can't I be able to do that? And now here I am auditioning to actually do that. Like, you manifest the things that you want in your life, the things that you really, really want, the energy that you put out there, it matters.
Right.
So I am auditioning. Next thing you know, they call us back. There's five girls that get through the final process. And they're like, hey, we like you. But we need to do a preseason audition. There'll be five girls, and we'll basically like have the city vote every week and see who wants to, whoever gets it. So basically through the 5 weeks, I'm in there, Wizards popping, whatever, doing preseason games. I wasn't nervous, because preseason games, you know, a lot of people don't come. But I really wasn't nervous ever. It felt right. And so,
and the power of social media, man.
Yeah. And so I started the campaign on social media. People were actually voting for me. Like, it was crazy. So basically that last week, you know, there was two of us, and they didn't let us know who, like, won the competition for weeks. So me and my mom are like getting together the apology, like, to everybody, like, thank you so much for phone in for my daughter. Unfortunately, she did not get it.
The way that your God works.
Okay. Unfortunately, it has been 6 weeks since we has heard anything. And so I get a call. So I'm literally on my car on a carpet for the Power 105.1 powerhouse that they do. And I'm with Music Exclusives. So we're there, you know, Bobby Shmurda. Oh, man, damn. Bobby. Damn, Bobby. So damn. Bobby on the carpet, like, like doing his old, like, Bobby thing. Trey Songz coming through looking fine. Like, it was a lot. It was a good carpet. And so I remember having to step away from the carpet because I get a call. And it looked like the Wizards number. And they're like, hey, Gia, so sorry we put you through so much. But we want to offer you the job. You were voted in by the city, and our front office loves you, and we think you're great, and think we'll do a great job here at the Wizards organization. The only thing you'll have to do is remove your bangs. And from up until that point, remember I used to wear bangs all the time?
Yes.
Yes, I had just got a fresh sew-in. Yes, like a, I always used to wear a bang because I was ashamed of my forehead. I did not think my forehead. I thought it was too big. I thought, like, it just wasn't cute. And I was like, dang. I mean, that's, I'm not about to tell you no. I just got a fresh weave, so if y'all willing to pay for my new weave, then yes. And they were like, we got that.
But how did you get comfortable with now changing your hairstyle, you know?
Well, that's when I did the side swoop.
Okay, the side swoop.
That's when I did it. So I was like, well, I can do side. Like, they can't be mad at me if I do side. Mm-hmm. The problem was the bangs cut off your face on the Jumbotron. So you look like, hey, guys, nice to see you guys. Welcome to the, you know, and they're like, I can't even see your eyes. So you're going to have to get rid of those. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not about to let no bang stop me from having a dream job. So I started doing that, and I was working all of those jobs at the same time. And so it got to be very crazy. I was working one job while I was on the train and then working both of the jobs, and I'll be getting into the Wizards games. And the biggest thing that I asked for from God at that time, I was like, if this is something that you want from me, you're going to have to make it work. Like, because I don't know how I'm going to be living in New York, working at Essence, then working with Ebro, and then working with the Wizards in D.C. But if this is something you want from me, Jesus, then you have to work it out. And, of course, my parents are angels on earth. So they were like, at the time, the Wizards weren't ready to pay for all of our travel.
Right.
So at this point, I'm on a bus because I refuse to take $300 Amtrak child every time. And so, mind you, have 60 home games during the season, 60 plus. So who's paying that much money? So I was on a boat bus, child. Half the time. And so what I would do is I would work in the Essence offices from like 8 a.m. to 12, take my suitcase with me at 12, go on over to 34th Street, you know, to either Port Authority or not the Port Authority bus terminal, but like, you know, 34th and 11th, right, where the buses pick up, or Amtrak if I had extra money that week. And so 4 hour bus ride, get into D.C. Union Station like 4:30, 4:15, take the sub Metro over to Galley Place, walk up, get my little beat together, go to our production meeting at 5:30. From 5:30, like 6:10, do more makeup, hair, then have an energy drink, coffee, get ready to host until 9:30. Mom's outside with the car if she did not come to the game, drives us back to Maryland. Dad wakes me up at 4:25. We get on the 5:25 train, and I'm back in New York at 8 a.m. like nothing ever happened. And so I'd been doing that for years. And that's when I knew. I was like, I can hustle. Like, don't nobody really, like, you might be prettier, quotes, than me. You might have a bigger booty than me. And like, you might have different things than me, but you're not going to outwork me.
Right.
And so that was when I was like.
And it's also a thing, like, we come from the suburbs.
Right.
So, like, living in a city,
yes,
grinding in,
yes,
a city like New York, it's a different ball game.
And it's a different type, but people don't realize, like, New York is never, you're never alone in New York. You're never really alone in
Child.
New York. You, like, we're used to, like, being able to, like, if we had a hard day, cry in your car on the way home.
And have space.
Nope. Here, if you gotta cry, you better cry on the subway, and you better get your little tissue out so nobody really sees you. Here, you can't scream, really. You can't scream.
Nope.
Because people will think you're crazy and then try to commit you. At home, you could go in your room and be like, ah, and be fine and just need to get it out. So here, it's a whole different, like, ball game that you have to, like, internally put yourself in a different space. And so, you know, from there, I did all of that. Then Essence ended because it was only, like, an 8-month gig at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I started to, like, try and do different things, like on-air talent things. And then I finally got the call from BET.com that they were looking for talent to do BET Breaks. And so I started working with the team, and it was very new then, and there were a lot of different things that would happen there. And then, so I started working there. And so pretty much since then, I've been on a consistent grind to just keep all relationships open, and just kind of keep those spaces to myself, to open for myself to always, like, have those relationships to where if I need income or something like that, that's where it goes.
Now that you have said, like, you know what, I'm not sure, like, I was aligned in the past few whatever months.
Yeah.
Where do you envision yourself? Maybe it's this year, or maybe it's who knows how many years later, but where do you envision yourself as far as where you want your career to go? And what is going to fulfill you and make you happy?
Excuse me, y'all. We're getting tired out here.
We got it. It's a struggle.
It's been a long day, but it's a good day.
Gia was working today. We're here.
Thank you, Jesus, for jobs. And so the biggest thing I want for myself this year or the top of next year is to be a correspondent or a reoccurring personality on a major national mainstream network television show. So whether that's an Access Hollywood or an E! Or an Entertainment Tonight, Extra, anything like that, where I can become a talent and a face and a brand that people know, trust, and rely on to deliver great stories, great content that's compelling. That's what I want for myself. And I also want to start creating content that speaks for my brand and that people will actually love and like and relate to and support, whether I'm working with somebody or not. So that is...
That issue's like kind of the Cuba content that you
Right. That is like, you know, my blog that is... I want to start doing some e-guides where people can always, like, when people ask me for advice, like, here are the top 10 things you need to know before you get into, want to know what needs to be an entertainment journalist. Here you go. It's on PayPal for $25.99. It says, go, you know what I'm saying? Download it. Bless God. And so, you know, an e-course on what the things they don't tell you in school about being an entertainment journalist, you know? So, freelancing, like, those helps. And then I have a lot of different things that are in the works. For me, it's producing content with people I believe in and people that believe in me, and creating spaces that are safe for Black women of or women of color to feel creative and loved and wanted, but also inspired. I think there isn't enough light in this world. Like, we really magnify and create more places where petty is popular than it is to be a light. And so I'm like, I want to surround myself with people who want to be light. And if they don't want to be light, and they can be human, but at the end of the day, they want to share goodness. They want to infuse some type of betterness into the world, because we live in an era of Donald Trump. There is enough negativity. Every time you turn on the TV, it's something else that he's trying to change and take away from people.
Yeah.
And it's like, what can we give to people in my power that God has given me? What can I do? And so that's what one of the things, you know, a few of the things that I want to do. Of course, getting back into singing, acting, and dancing is on my table, so I can, like, really, like, use all the gifts that God gave me, you know. And ain't no accident that I can do all that. So definitely doing that. And then joining SAG-AFTRA for me is a big thing. So figuring out how to pay them dues, because they're expensive. So yes, so, you know, I'm figuring that out, but every single day is a new opportunity to learn for me. So now I'm in this place where I'm like, I know nothing, you know, like, the things I know are great, but, like, in order to get to the next level, I have to put myself in places that I don't know. And I have to really, really be able to learn what God is trying to show me.
Are you open to going to, as they say, the West Coast is the best coast?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm the type of person that's like, I don't got no kids here. I don't got no man here, child.
Girl.
My mom is never going to be like, oh, my God, please don't go. She going to be like, how much I got to put down for a flight? Because you got to come home and I don't got time for that. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the biggest thing. I feel like people don't realize. It's like, we have this mindset that, like, oh, I ain't got a man yet. I ain't got kids yet. Like, look at that. Some of those things are a blessing.
Okay,
like, you can move a certain way now that you don't have that.
Okay,
right?
Because I know my man is coming.
Because when he comes,
I gotta prioritize him.
You want to pour into him. You want him to pour into you. So right now, keep pouring into yourself.
Okay. And he's going to very much, like, be a person that I want to be around.
Yes.
So I gotta grind now. And taking care of myself mentally. Mm. Physically, like, staying in the gym is very
you be working
hard.
Out though.
I do,
you
but like I haven't been, like, but when travel gets crazy, I let it go to the wayside. So I need to learn how to, like, have like 20 minute workouts that I can do in a hotel room if I'm not in right. in by a gym, or like, you know, bringing workout stuff with me so I can do them in a hotel right. as opposed to not being at the gym, walking to Blink or whatever.
Right.
So those are the things. And then taking care of like my hair. I really want my hair to grow. I really want to start wearing my natural hair, child. Like, I think I got very stressed this year, and my iron levels have been low. So when your iron levels are low, the back of your hair stops growing. Yes. So like, I've noticed that the back of my hair is thinner. So I'm like, okay, I need to get my iron levels. I need to get more vitamin D. I need to start spending time with God. And I love nature, not like hiking, but I mean, I've never tried it.
Just to sit outside,
like by water is my favorite thing. So like, just going by water and like doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
Being very in tune with what makes me happy and following that. And stop worrying about what people think so much. Like, yes. You know what I'm saying? Self-doubt is what stops creatives a lot. I think like, you know, every time I put out something, I have to shut down my Instagram immediately because I can't see it. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Because I'll think about it too much. I'll think about like, if people don't like it, should I delete it? Oh my God. Right. People hate it. Oh my God. People hate it. So... Right.
Put it out there, close it,
and leave it.
Yeah.
And come back later when you're a little bit more stable.
Yeah.
Because it's okay to be nervous, but don't give in to the nerves or the fear. So, yeah, those are the things I want for myself. And, of course, I want to, you know, find a man that loves me and that I can love. I want to cultivate more relationships that are going to help me grow. And I want to keep the relationships I have mm-hmm. and love the hell out of them, the people that love me. Because this life is short.
It's very short. Do you find that being in this industry where – you're working nonstop, that it's hard to meet potential future mates.
Girl, you know? Everybody thinks I have a man somewhere stashed away, or they think I'm intimidating, or they think that I've got my shit together so they can't level up with me. Or they think that I would never give them the time of day. There's just all these reasons that I've heard from my guy friends. I'd be like, what in the hell? I'm literally the most approachable person in America. Like, I will talk to a crazy person as long as they ain't trying to harm me. You know what I'm saying? Like, what up, sis? You okay? All right. Have a good one. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can talk. So it has been hard. And it's even worse because I do work in a lot of industries with a lot of men. So right. a lot of times I'm with men. And so people assume that I'm dating. If I hear another person ask me if I'm dating somebody in that I've worked with or in the NBA. No.
Right.
I do not date. I do not. What is it? Shit where I eat. Like, I do.
Shit where you lay.
Yes. Shit where mm-hmm. I lay. And like, no, I can't do that. Absolutely not. Like,
but it takes a secure man to date a woman like you. And that secure man. I don't know.
It ain't many men that are secure enough
to
do that. Because at least I'm not at 27. And maybe I do need to start dating older, but I think, me also not being like say I have to be in DC twice a week. Like, is that something that you can be okay with? The next week I might not be here for 4 days. Cause I got to go to LA and then I got to Miami. Are you okay with that? Like, so for me, I think it might be, you know, partly because I do travel so much and men don't know what my schedule is going to be and men never feel like they can fit into my life. But just notice my future man. Because we going to get down to it.
Okay.
In Jesus' name, you and I will be a team. In a perfect world, I will support you just as much as you support me. So even if I'm not there, I'm going to find a way to FaceTime in. I'm going to find a way to talk to you all day, every day, if I need to talk to you all day, every day. If you, whatever you need, I am willing to give as long as you are worth me giving that. Like, as long as we know what this is. Because the last thing I want to do ever again is give so much to somebody and then find out that they never even like were trying to receive it.
Child,
don't let me give to you and then you wasn't even trying to receive it, because now we got problems. So
now I'm giving shit out for free and you never that even, I could have kept like, close to my breast.
Yes, okay? Like,
you
literally
didn't even deserve it.
Thank you. And so, you know, I am very open to dating and very open to getting to know somebody who's a good real person. Like, a good person with a kind heart and a big heart and a beautiful personality who loves their family and loves God and loves themselves a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And is, if they're not complete, which none of us are, working to complete themselves and fix the things in their lives that might hinder them from having a great relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
So and who's someone who's ambitious. You know, like that matters to me.
Okay.
So, you know, like,
we ain't having no Lauren situations, no okay. shade, but no, you know, insecure. We on nobody's couch for 3-4 years. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, I just want something real. Like, I want something lasting. My parents are still together. They've been together since I was, before I was born, obviously. But, like, they've been married for almost 30 years now. Mm-hmm. So that's my big thing. Like, once we in it, let's stay in it.
Right. So then I guess my question is, do you feel like once you reach your level of success that mm-hmm. you define for yourself, mm-hmm. are you afraid that it's not going to be everything that you envisioned it to be?
Mm. I mean, one of the biggest things I have learned from being in this industry is that nothing ever feels as good as it looks. Like, yes, I remember interviewing Taraji in the height of her Cookie era. Mm-hmm. Like, when Cookie first came out and it was on every mainstream media thing that Empire was breaking records and they were the number one show in decades, and since there hadn't been a leading role like Cookie in forever, they'd never seen a black mom like that on TV. And I remember interviewing Taraji through the years, or just seeing her through the years and seeing how humble she was and how much she wanted to be there, and then seeing that Cookie kind of took away her light initially. Like, it took away her ability to be a human being. People weren't addressing her as Taraji. They were calling her Cookie Girl. I love you. It was overwhelming for her. It was a lot for her. And I remember seeing her and wanting so much to connect with her, but she had no energy left to give. And so what success looks like for me is, yeah, there are things, there are benchmarkers. Like, I would love to be an EGOT. I would love to be able to go to different places and give my family things that, you know, like paying bills and houses and cars and mortgages and sending them on 2-week trips to Jamaica on me. Like, you know, like things like that. But I also know that every new level of success will have a new devil. So at the end of the day, like, I'm taking my time. Because if God wanted me to have it, I would have it if I was ready for it. So I'm taking my time, you know.
Take your time.
Because, you know, life is short, but there is a way not to rush through it. So,
right.
You got to find that balance.
Yeah, I think for me, I was even thinking, like, I spent the majority of my teens and 20s, I'm going to say the teens, like, but my teens and 20s pouring energy into the significant other. Right. And I'm like, what do I have to show for that?
Right.
I'm 28. Right. I'm literally looking back like, girl, you ain't got nothing to show for this. You didn't put all this energy, this time
into like dudes,
into these relationships, to these individuals, you know, trying to cultivate something that honestly, you know, you just need it in yourself. Mm. And I think that,
that's good. That's,
you know, when I looked at, like, where is the root of the issue, and it's not like a problem, but it's more so like, honestly, I was seeking these things of you, thinking that you could give me something that I already had in myself.
Come on now.
But I had to go through these experiences to know, like, okay, it's only so many times you're going to keep repeating the same insanity. Mm. Okay. Before you realize, like, there's only, you got to go up. You got to go up to God and have a conversation, or you got to sit and have a conversation with yourself. And I think it's hard, like you said, in New York, when you're never alone, to really be alone with yourself and say, okay, what is going on?
Right.
What is it that you need? Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking to yourself and being with yourself. Nobody really wants to be with themselves
right.
in this lonely ass city. Like, right. this city is lonely as shit.
Yes.
And nobody's trying to be. We all like, okay, girl, you want to go to brunch?
Right.
You
get right. up. Please you get up. Please leave the house.
Happy hour or something. Nobody actually wants to just, like, sit and be
right.
by themselves.
Right. You get antsy because there's so much happening all the time.
Yeah. But like you said, you're focused on just yourself. What does self-care look like to you? What does mm-hmm. the investment of being the best version of yourself look like to you? Yeah. Does it mean I got to go to the water once a week because I got to get yeah. I got to refuel myself, myself, right. whatever the case may be. Like, once you do those things, it's like when you see somebody trying to creep up, it's like, nah, boo, I'm good because you ain't about that life.
Right. And you ain't about
But nothing. You know the ones that will be about that life. Right. You'll start to decipher those things. Future husband, come correct. Absolutely. Don't come at all.
Okay, please don't. Please. Like, I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I definitely, you know, am a big believer in timing.
Because, you know, I thought I found a dude that was about that life. Wasn't the right time for it. And so it ended up being a wake-up call for me because I was very, like, unfocused during that whole time. And I felt bad because, like, he didn't even get the real me. Like, he got the, like, lovey-dovey kind of lazy version of me. And I'm like, dang, you really don't even know. Like, this is not really me. Like, but I just really, like, liked you. You know, I was right. Just trying to be around. Like, I don't know, me cute.
Right.
But no, it was, I definitely now know, like, to take my time. And then to also be exactly who I am. Like, don't right. change, you know, one of my mentors and my big sisters, like, Demetria Lucas, she told me, like, yo, you are never too much for somebody.
I agree.
People, the right man for you will think you're more than enough for him. So don't try to wither yourself down and dumb yourself down for anybody. Because guess what? The right people are going to like you. And they're going to love that you're authentic to yourself. And then they're going to want to be bigger in their own spaces and take up more space on their own. So yeah. Stop doing that. And I was like, you're right. Because I kept saying, like, maybe I was just too much for him. And she was like,
nope.
What do you mean?
He wasn't enough for you.
Like,
and that's
that.
The reality. So to close out the episode, I want to ask you, what are 3 things that you value that have propelled you to overcome your fear mm-hmm. up until this point?
God, the Lord, whatever you want to call it, the higher power, the source energy, whatever you believe, the universe. There is a very real power and presence in all of our lives. And it's a guiding force. It's a spirit. It's something that is in you even when you don't want it to be in you. That is there to help you. And the more that you, like, give into that, the more that you pull out of that space, mm-hmm. the more that you'll be able to kind of see where you're supposed to go. And the more you follow that calling on your life, you'll be good. And I know that sounds cliche, but the closer you get to God, the closer he comes to you. So I would definitely say always stay connected to the source, the power, the energy that makes you the most happy, like the most appreciative, the most grateful. So for me, it would be God, my all, everything. My family is everything. They are the light, the sun, the moon, the stars. They are the tangible evidence that God exists. They are like my core for everything. Mm-hmm. We have a group chat that I value more than any other group chat in my phone. Sorry, friends. I love y'all. But like my family group chat is everything for me. And so, you know, those are the people that I am responsible for making their lives better. And then, of course, my friends are in that space, too. Like, right. If we're friends and we can't, like, build each other up and love each other and help each other be better, people really, really don't need to call each other friends. We associates, we cool. That's the homie, but, like, you ain't my friend. So, I definitely think that is a big thing. And then what was the question again? You said 3 things that I...
That you value that have helped propel you over your fear up until this point.
The little girl, me, the young 12-year-old me that would stay up all night singing in my mirror to Beyonce, to Destiny's Child songs, and believing that I deserved to be on a stage in front of thousands of people. The little girl who dreamed so much and so big that she really, really, really thought that I could do anything. Like, there, my room was a stage more than it was not. And so the little girl who wanted to be a big, huge star inside of me still is there. Mm-hmm. And so she is the driving force. I don't want to disappoint myself. I'm the only person that can change my life for the better.
Yeah.
So she is very much a driving force. That little girl, not disappointing her. And in turn, that's why I'm so passionate about helping young girls see their own potential. Because had I just tapped into my own potential, despite what everybody else was saying, I probably would have been famous by now and singing and popping with, like, Rihanna in them. So, I definitely say, for the little girl who still lives inside of me, to make her proud in all things.
Amen.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I usually like to close off the episode with a quote that speaks to the person's fear or just overcoming it. And mm-hmm. so the quote that I have is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. The only person you are destined to become is the person you decided to be.
Come on now. That's a good quote. I like that quote. Yes. I ain't got to text that to me.
On that note, thank you so much, Gia, for joining me. I know you're busy, but I love you.
And I'm so proud of your podcast. And I think what you're doing is very important.
Thank you so much.
You know, I got to support my home girl. Yes. Literally. Shout out to anybody from the DMV that be listening.
Okay.
You can do anything. DMV taking over.
DMV taking over. So with that being said, I hope everybody has a fearless Friday. Continue to spread love, light, and many blessings. It's your girl, Fearless Kia, and we out.
Bye.